joy in his heart. Is that what he said? How did he word that? The Lord gave him joy in his heart last night, and he thanks the Lord for that. And so what I want to share with you tonight is, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 33. Brother Kyle, you can make a note on this. This is probably the first time that I'm preaching a sermon. I don't have any notes or anything. I don't have my scriptures written down. But I have them up here where I want to go with it. Because I'm one that likes to have scriptures and know where I'm going from. But it's just an inspiration that was dropped into my heart today as we were traveling to Olean. We had to do something over there. And as I was talking this morning about marriages, and I took advantage of it, got to take my wife out for a date. But I benefited from it too, because I got me some good food to eat also. Didn't even have to cook it. Didn't have to do any dishes. Brother Kyle, I don't understand it, but when we was driving over there, I had to stop and get into passenger seat and let her drive. I could not keep my eyes open, and it's dangerous to drive when you're really super tired. And I was at that point. I'm like, wow, I can't do this. But coming home, I did okay. And so what came to me is I was going along the road there and just thinking, my wife's talking to me, and sometimes she didn't say it today, but sometimes the ladies will say to their husbands, "You're not even listening to me." And you know what, ladies? Sometimes you're right. She was saying something, and I just was thinking of this. And what I was thinking about, it was coming to me, the word joy. I was thinking of that song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. And I was thinking of that, and then I was thinking of the acronym for that. And you've all heard this, Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Okay? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And then if you take joy and you turn it around, what do you have? You have O-Y-J. You know what that stands for? Your own junk. That's what it stands for. And we're going to look at that tonight. We're going to look at what the joy is. And so Matthew chapter 6, and we are going to look at, and it's talking about these things, and we'll start in verse 30, and we'll ask the Lord to help us tonight, and I want you to be inspired in the Lord tonight, and I want this joy that the Lord has for you to be down in your heart. It talks about the out of our belly will flow rivers of living water, and it talks about that joy springing up within our heart and in our soul. God, we're so grateful to be here tonight. Minister unto us. Help us, God. Lord, as we speak these words of truth and life tonight, God, Lord, that this joy that you talk about, this kind of joy that the world doesn't give, but the kind of joy that you get can come alive within us, God. We thank you for it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So how to get this joy? And it's Jesus first. And so we use that acronym. I'm probably saying the word wrong, but we're going to use that tonight. It's Jesus first. And so how do we get Jesus first in our life? Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so your heavenly Father, in verse 32, he knows that you have need of all of these things. So we're talking about joy. You have to have Jesus first in your life, seeking the kingdom of God first. A lot of times the reason that we don't have joy or we lose the joy that we have is we're cumbered down with a load of care because of the needs of all of the things that's going on in our life. And if you look at the verses before this, he goes in it quite extensively, and it actually starts in verse 24, talking about trusting one master. We're looking to the left, we're looking to the right, And we want to be happy. We want to have joy in our hearts. But we're worried about what we're going to eat. We're worried about what clothing we're going to have. We're worried about Sister Joni. We're worried about if we're going to have a car to drive tomorrow, if it's going to work for us. And we're worried about this. And the kids that go to school, they're worried about different things. We're getting into a subject that's sort of difficult for me. And I just know I'm going to have a hard time. I don't think I can do it. And you have these bills pressing. And property taxes are due in our area by the end of March. If you want to get the discount period and you're thinking about that, you're sitting in church and you're trying to have the joy of the Lord, and you have all of these things going, you got a payment that's due and you're a few dollars short on that, you're trying to come up with an idea. And so it's hard to keep the joy of the Lord when we're cumbered down with a load of care and all of these things around us. And Jesus had friends when he was here upon this earth, and it's okay for us to have friends too. And he went to Mary and Martha's house, and they were cooking a meal for him. And one of them was cumbered about with a load of care. And she was just worried about so many things. And her name was Martha. She was just all worried. She didn't know how it was going to be. And her sister Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she was receiving, as the scripture said, she was receiving that one thing that was needful. And what was that? Putting Jesus first, receiving something from him. But Martha was cumbered about with a load of care, and she was troubled about many things. She come to the master, and she says, "Master, don't you care? I'm preparing this meal. And Mary's just sitting here listening to you talk, and I have all this work to do." And he says, "Well, listen here, Martha." He says, you're troubled and you're worried about many things. But he says, "Mary has chosen that good part which can't be taken away from her, and that was to do with her salvation." That was doing with her seeking Jesus first and making Jesus first in her life. And if you want Jesus first in your life, you're going to have joy in your life, I guarantee you. There's going to be a lot of things that try to block it out so that Jesus isn't going to be first in your life. You just don't have time. Jesus will get choked out of your life by the everyday things that need done. He can get choked out by sinful things. He can get choked out by temptations, but he also can get choked out because we're just simply too busy. If you get too busy, you will lose your joy. If you don't put Jesus first, you will lose your joy. Like the work that we were doing yesterday. And I think all the guys kept a pretty good attitude about it because we were doing it as unto the Lord. And if it would have been like, "Man, this is a monumental task. We're never going to get this done." The joy would have swept from us. We'd have been mean and grumpy and grouchy and snapping at each other. We would have had a hard time getting through the day. But if we want the joy of the Lord in our heart, you have to put Jesus first. And Jesus instructed him, and he wasn't just saying this just to waste his breath, just to put some words out there. Jesus didn't say, "Well, here's some food for thought. And maybe if you do this, it'll work." He didn't present it in that way. After he talked about all the daily needs that people have, he said to the people, "The Lord already knows you have need of those things. And so don't be worried about those things if you want to keep the joy. But what are you to do? You are to seek first the kingdom of God." Oh, a lot of people can do that. They think, "I'm seeking God's kingdom first." But then it continues, "And his righteousness." And there's a song we sing, "To be more like you." I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus every day. I'm not insinuating that I'm perfect, and neither would you be insinuating that. But there needs to be something within us that we want to be more like Jesus day by day. That we're growing, and we might be taking big steps. We might be taking little steps, but that's putting Jesus first. And so when Jesus said this, he said, "But," and this is sort of a commandment. I mean, it's a secret. It's a key that can unlock a door to success in your life. He goes, "You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." And how are you going to seek his righteousness? You're going to put Jesus on the inside of you. That song we sing, it's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Sometimes we try to put on our own righteousness. Well, I'll do this and I'll do that. I see what everybody else is doing. And so if I dress in a certain way or stay away from certain places and so on and so forth, and then I'll have the righteousness of God within me. That's not what it's about. It's about putting Jesus first, getting more of Jesus within you. And when you have more of Jesus within you, and then His righteousness is going to be there. It says to seek His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The only way that you and I are ever going to be righteous is having more of Jesus within us. Oh, we sing that song. Oh, more of you, more of you. I've had it all, Lord, but what I need is more of you. And when we sing those songs, we need to sing them from our heart. Just don't let it be words that flow from your mouth and, you know, give you a little chill up your spine and you feel good about it. But really think about what you're singing and seek more of God in your life. So we're talking about joy tonight. We have to seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness and all of these other things that you need. It says at the end of verse 33 that they're going to be added on to you. God will take care of you. And if you read down through there, He talks about the birds, the sparrow. A sparrow is a bird. And He says He feeds the sparrow of the sky. I never seen a bird that was worried. Has anybody ever seen a bird sitting on a telephone line somewhere and he's just chattering and his beak's just going and he's shaking and he's so weak he can't hang on to the telephone line anymore and he crumbles to the ground, falls to the ground? I've never seen that happen. There's birds out there. If you think about all the birds that are out there, God feeds them. And I don't know what pounds, bags of bird seed that I buy over at the local store where Brother Kyle works, if they're a 15-pound bag of bird seed or which ones I buy. But this winter wasn't a bad winter. But before it's over, I have just a little bit more left. I'm going to have gone through 30, if they're 15 pounds or 10 pounds, I don't know what they are.
What size you get?
The ones you get big like this. Round like this.
20 pounds.
I'm going to have fed the local birds 40 pounds of food from the beginning of this winter until the end of it. And that's just a few birds that are coming to my feeders. Think about all the birds that are out there. God feeds them. God takes care of them. You don't see any of them worrying. They don't know. I don't know how they know when I have that bird feeder out there. In the summertime, I don't see those birds coming around. But boy, I put that bird feeder out there and somehow birds have a communication. You think we have the internet and we can communicate? Them birds got the internet beat. Before you know it, there's all kinds of birds showing up at my bird feeder. And there's a lot of people in the area that put bird feeders out there. But God feeds the fowl of the air. He cares for them. They don't worry about things, but we have this tendency as humans with this blood that's flowing in our veins. We just get nervous. We just get uptight. But Pastor, you don't understand. It's my temperament. It's my personality. I like to know it's there. If you were a bird, what kind of bird would you be? Would you be a worried kind of bird that you would have a big stockpile of feed there and you wouldn't let anybody else near the stockpile that you had? Or would you be sort of a carefree bird? I would like to be a carefree bird. And that's how we need to live this life. We got to rightly divide the word of truth, but in a sense, we almost need to live carefree. We just don't worry about those things. God will feed us. God will take care of us. It's easy to say that when your refrigerator is full. It's easy to say that when you open up your pantry door and you have all kinds of food in there. And yes, some of it, as it is in my house, is even outdated. And my wife reminds me that just because it's outdated doesn't mean it's not okay. So I don't worry about it because I have. But what if my refrigerator was empty, as we've seen so many times in the Dominican Republic? They open their refrigerator up and all as they have in there is a pitcher of water. They have nothing else in there. And they have no reserve. They don't have any pantry. And if I was living like that, would I still have faith and would I still have trust in God? It's easy to say I trust God when you have everything you need. But what about when you don't have it? You need to put Jesus first. Because this joy that God's talking about, that Casper was talking about, it's something that the world didn't give it to us and the world can't take it away. And God knows that you have need of these things and He will take care of you. So it says, that last verse, don't take any thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow is going to take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so that's Jesus first. And then we're going over to the book of Acts. Amen, I didn't write it down, so I hope I'm remembering the right verse. Acts chapter, the one I want, amen, somebody's going to have to help me. Or no, I know what it is. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus first. Let that be a priority in your life. I need Jesus first. Yeah, the family pulls. You've got to take care of those things. And God knows your heart. But in my heart, it's Jesus first. I want Jesus first in my life. I want him to take that priority. And then the next thing that we can have this joy is to put others second. Jesus first and others second. Acts 10:38. And how do you put others second? And God, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He went about doing good. It was others second. And we could have used the example of Jesus. It's at least, it seems like it's a lot more than that, but if you really study it out, it's recorded at least four times in the Gospels where Jesus set himself aside and he went apart to pray. He was making sure God was a priority in his life. And when he came here, his desire and will was not to do what he wanted to do, but was to do what the Father wanted him to do. And so back in the page up just a little bit, that's what our priority should be. It's not what I want in life. It's God, what do you want in life? And then it comes other second, and God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God wants to anoint you with Holy Ghost. He wants to anoint you with Holy Ghost, it says here, and with power like Jesus was anointed. But if you don't put Jesus first in your life, you're not going to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. You don't get the Holy Ghost and power, and then, well, I think I'll put Jesus first in my life. That's pretty neat how that Holy Ghost power works in my life. I sort of like that. There's a good feeling that goes about that, and there is. There's a good feeling that goes with the anointing, but you can't get the cart ahead of the horse. You have to put Jesus first, and then God can anoint you with Holy Ghost and with power. And then what did Jesus do with that? He went about doing good. Many of us go about trying to do good when we're not putting Jesus first in our life, and we're very limited on the good that we can do. We can give a good morning to somebody. We can open a door for somebody. We might be able to give somebody a ride, but doing deeper things to help them in the emotional things that they're facing in life and answering questions that they have, we're not going to be able to do that unless we're anointed with Holy Ghost and with power. And the ones that Jesus went about helping was others. And it says he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Listen, there are a lot of people even sitting in churches that are oppressed of the devil. Doesn't mean they're sinners. It doesn't mean that they've drifted far from God. That's the devil's job, to oppress us. And he oppresses people. But Jesus comes along, and it's other second, and he brings deliverance to those that are oppressed of the devil. Sometimes you need to turn to the enemy, and as that other song goes, Lord, I'm, or not Lord, but we sing, I'm tired of you, devil. You've had me bound too long. I'm going to lift my hands towards heaven. I'm going to sing a happy song. You're not going to hold me down. The devil wants to oppress us and hold us down because he doesn't want you or me to be effective for the kingdom of God. He just wants us to be all locked up in our own problems and in my own salvation. And I'm trying to work it out, and I'm just a nervous wreck, and I don't know if I'm going to make it to heaven. I doubt I'm going to be ready for the rapture because I really know myself. And he oppresses us, and he makes you, he likes to belittle you. You're a nobody. You're a nothing. And look at the mistake you made. And he reminds you of all your faults and failures. That's oppression of the enemy. But Jesus, when he came, he went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. We're talking about having joy in our heart. Put Jesus first, then be filled with the Holy Ghost and with power, and then you can go about doing good. How would you like to go out and be the one that's able to heal the brokenhearted and set the captive free? Well, only Jesus can do that. Well, how is Jesus going to do that in the world that we're living today? He's going to do it through you and me. That's how the principle of the Word of God is. He's not here in the flesh like he was in the day when he was here upon this earth. And if he's going to heal the oppressed today, he's going to do it through you and me. And so we can't heal the oppressed. We can't heal the brokenhearted. We can't set the captive free. And realize, understand, I'm not saying that we do it, but it's Jesus that does it through us. If we don't put Jesus first, and then we're not even going to be able to put others second. But here's the problem. There's many Christian people that it's all about love. It's all about helping, and it is. Don't misunderstand me. And so what they do is they get the cart ahead of the horse. They put others first. They're out there helping others. They're trying to minister. They're like the messenger in the Old Testament. He ran without a message. He got there, and they said, what's the message? He says, well, I'm not sure what happened. There was something going on. There was a great tumult. There was a great stirring. The dust was stirred up, and I know they're coming this way, and that's the only part of the message that I have. There's a lot of people just out there trying to do good, and the good they're doing isn't really helping anybody because they didn't put Jesus first. And I know I refer to it often, but Peter and John, they went down to the temple at the hour of prayer. I think it's in Acts chapter 3. And they did a great thing for God there. And how did that happen? Well, they were putting others first because they took that lame man and they says, we don't have anything. But they took him by the hand and they said, rise up and walk. But before they were doing that, they had put Jesus first. They had a joy down in their heart and in their soul. You want to be effective in the community that you're living and in the circle of friends that you have? Get full of the power and the anointing and the fire of the Holy Ghost. And you don't have to go in there being a Bible-thumping Christian. You don't have to have shirts that say, I love Jesus. You don't have to have bumper stickers all over your car. There's just going to be something different about you that they're going to be able to sense. There's something different about you. And what it is that they're going to feel flowing out of you is that river of life. We sing that song, there's a river of life flowing out from me. But that river of life can't flow out from us if we don't put Jesus first. And as I started, when I was just sharing this thought that I had, many Christians put others first. That's not how you do it. You don't put others first. You put Jesus first. You have to plug yourself into the source. Because if you're going to run in your own power and ability, it's like running a computer. This one here probably has a battery in it. It's plugged into a power source. I could unplug that power source, but that battery's only going to last for so long and it's going to be dead. You got to be plugged into Jesus. That song we used to sing, I'm wrapped up, I'm tied up, I'm tangled up in Jesus. I'm talking about having real joy tonight. And so you get tied into Jesus. You get full of the Holy Ghost and the power. And Jesus went about doing good. And he was healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Why was God with him? Because he was seeking first the kingdom of God. He says, Lord, I'm here and I want to do what you want me to do. And there was many times that he had conversations with people and it's recorded in the Gospels. He'd be having these conversations and some of his prayers are recorded and he'd be talking to God. And he says, I can only do what the Father bids me to do. I just can't do anything on my own. He was always seeking and finding out what it was that God wanted. And God wrought many miracles through Jesus because Jesus was seeking God first. Amen. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and power. The devil just wants to oppress people. He loves it. I think he just sits there, if we can imagine it this way, and he's just clapping his hands, and he's just, oh, yippity-yah, and he's happy when he sees how oppressed that we become. Becoming oppressed is a dangerous thing, but there's oppression that comes against each one of us, but we don't want to camp out there because there's a progression that goes on. Before you can get to a depression, one of the steps you have to go through is an oppression. He oppresses you. He oppresses you. He's pressing you. He's pressing you. And that's what he was doing to Job. He was oppressing him. And Job didn't crack under the load. He come out as gold on the other side. And God wants to work in your life. So it's Jesus first, others second, and nowhere in the Bible are you going to find the acronym that we're using tonight where it's yourself last. Jesus never took time for himself. He went away and he fasted and he rested because of the people. It does say that. You might say, well, he has the full joy because he's taken this rest and he's refiring in God. But whenever we think about ourself last, whenever we say yourself last, we're thinking in the terms of the things that I want to do. Nowhere in the scripture do I read where Jesus says to his disciples, not saying this is wrong, so don't misunderstand me. I'm just trying to get a point across, where Jesus said to his disciples, you know, you all, and I think almost all of them were, one of them was a physician, so it would be good to have one of those when you go fishing, because if you get hurt, you know, the physician could help you. And then there was the tax collector. It'd be good to have one of those when you go fishing, because one time Jesus, they was on him about paying taxes, and they went and he says, go catch a fish, cast your line. And he says, you're going to find money in that fish's mouth and pay the tribute that's due to Caesar out of that. So it'd be good to have a tax collector. But the majority of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. Nowhere in the scripture where is it recorded, and I believe if it had happened that it would be in there, where Jesus says to his disciples, you boys are working hard, you're really doing a lot for the kingdom of God, I just want you to take a day off. Let's just shut things down. There'll be absolutely no ministry tomorrow. We're just going to go on vacation. Peter, John, James, you go out there and you get those boats. You go make sure those nets are ready to go. They've been laid up for a while now. You've been following me for about a year. Make sure those nets aren't going to break. Tomorrow we're going to have a day of rest and relaxation. And then, you know, we'll take a week off and then we're going to come back into ministry. I don't see where it's any insinuation that Jesus ever did anything like that. How did Jesus keep going? How did Jesus not burn out? And you think about this, and some of you will understand what I'm talking about. There are ministries where ministers and Christian workers burn out from the load that they're under. Why does that happen? I'll tell you why. Because they're not putting Jesus first. If you put Jesus first, you're not going to burn out. Because Jesus first in your life, you're going to have enough sense to know when you've done enough. You're going to be able to delegate things, and so you don't burn out. And so the enemy will try to keep you so busy. He will get you thinking, if you don't do it, it won't get done. You got to do it. Nobody can do it like you can do it. Somebody else tries to do what you're doing, they'll flub it up. They'll make a mistake. It won't work out. It'll keep us busy. He'll keep you so busy that you will burn out. But if you're following the will and the Spirit of God, you're going to seek Jesus first, and then you're gonna go for others, and there's not going to be that self. And so many of us have it backwards. It's our self first. It's our self first. And what does that mean? Your own junk. Joy backwards would be Y-O-J. It's our own junk first. Well, first it's this. I got to do this. In the sermon that I shared last Sunday morning, I bought a field. I got to go check it out. I bought a yoke of oxen. I got to go try them out. I married a wife. I can't come with you. I got to go take care of family matters. See, they're putting themselves first. And that's why the world doesn't have any joy. That's the vision, and you know it is, of this world. It's me. I'm number one. I put myself first, and then I might help others. And then if there's time, then I might have time for church. I might have time for religious matters. I might have time for Jesus. Where is that getting them? Nowhere. Nowhere. Look at how bad the world is. Look at how evil it is. And so we, as believers, we turn that around. We put Jesus first. We put others second. And we put ourselves last. And God will direct you. Not saying that you shouldn't have time off. You'll know when you should have time off. God will give you those times of rest and relaxation so that your body can rejuvenate. We're not superhuman. We're not Superman. And yet, and you got to realize that you're not the only one that can do whatever ministry it is that God has called you to do. There's other people that will step in there. It's God's work. It'll keep going. But put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And in closing, what's the world do? It's yourself first. It's maybe help others second. And Jesus, he takes the third seat. Sorry, Jesus, there's just no time. I got so much to do of my own things, and then I have other people that need my help. I'd love to come to church there, preacher, but you just don't understand. I don't have any time because they're not putting Jesus first. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us tonight, God. Lord, that if we want this joy down in our hearts, Lord, that we'll put you first. We'll seek you first, oh God. Lord, and then we'll help others. And then we'll put ourselves on the last seat, oh God. Lord, to have the joy of the Lord down in our hearts and in our lives. I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand up and we're going to sing that song. Well, there's one I was thinking about, joy. And it's not, I've got the joy, joy, joy. It's not the one. Oh, this joy that I have, the world gonna sing that, didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. You can shut that off. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it.